Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, it was all glitter and glamour last night at the New Zealand Cricket Awards, and everyone sits back and waits to hear who's going to be the choice for the Men's Supreme Award. And last night, it was this man, Ruchin Ravindra, who joins us this morning. Ruchin, congratulations. How are you feeling the morning after? This is the award that all cricketers aspire to in this country, and you've got it at such a young age. How are you feeling?
Morning, Smithy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very, very special feeling. I think you look at past award winners and obviously the legend of Sir Richard Hadlee and name on the medal, it puts it all into perspective, really.
Good night last night, was it, you know, overall?
Yeah, it was very good. I think those sort of award ceremonies are great to sort of celebrate the end of the season, you know, everyone's accomplishments, but more than that, it's sort of just to get around each other as a group, Black Caps and White Ferns and support staff as well, and all agency staff, and just have a great night, and you know, it seemed to be amazing.
Let's go back, if we can, Ruchin, to where it began for you, basically. What were your aspirations going into the World Cup? What were you thinking? I mean, what were you thinking about your opportunities?
Yeah, I probably didn't really expect to play too much. I guess I was kind of in that spin bowling all-rounder role at that stage, and sort of the comms were looking for the turning wicket. You'll probably play, you know, three spinners. But I guess lucky enough for me, sort of Lockie got a slight niggle on the sort of day before that first game against England, and yeah, I had sort of a hit out against Pakistan a couple of days before. So you know, I don't know what happened there, but I slotted into number three, and that was pretty cool to share that with Dev.
So let's talk a wee bit about that if we can, because that innings, as you say, you got very little mental time to prepare for it. You'd had a few nets, etc., and you'd look very good in those warm-up games. But tell us about that run chase, because it wasn't a small run chase by any stretch of the imagination.
Nah, yeah, not really, but I think it helped me, obviously, having Dev there, a dude who I've spent a lot of time with, you know, trained a lot with, and it was just like a sense of, you know, calming and, you know, almost being comfortable in that moment, you know, a way, you know, even though it was your first game of the World Cup and you feel like maybe the bright lights are on you, etc., it didn't necessarily feel like that because of, you know, the bond and friendship I have with Dev. So it felt like a normal day at the office, and look, luckily the stars aligned, Smithy, and the wicket was a nice flat one, so we got through in the end.
You got through remarkably easily in the end, to be fair, and that just led on. I mean, could you quite believe how it continued? I mean, it's all very well to have one standout performance, but this is the World Cup we're talking about, the best bowling attacks in the world. And day after day, you found the middle of the bat against them. Could you quite believe how this run of form came along?
Yeah, I guess so. Probably during the World Cup, I didn't quite think about it too much or reflect on it too much. It was sort of like, okay, next game, what's required of me, what's required for me to contribute to the team, and that sort of kept driving forward. You know, the beauty of the World Cup is you've got so many games in a short period of time, so no matter what happens, you're always looking ahead at the next fixture. And I mean, we were on a decent roll anyway, so it wasn't necessarily just about the individual success. It was just like trying to contribute to winning games of cricket for New Zealand, and obviously we couldn't make it all the way, but it was a special experience anyways.
You know, when you talk about winning games for New Zealand, etc., is that something that you talk about as a team, or is that something as a youngster you have that I guess, that pre-thought about doing anyway. I mean, is it something that's driven from the team? Because we hear it a lot out of the team, you know, performances for the team, for the team, for the team. Yet when it's you and the bowler, it's very much an individual sport.
Yeah, I agree with that, but also I think it's for us all understand that our runs or our wickets aren't necessarily just individual. Like, you're pushing the team forward, and that, you know, it's not just, you know, if you don't have a Ravindra 100 and, you know, a team score, you know, it's all contributing to the team. So I think if that sort of perspective helps a bit, and you know, and look, winning does help a lot, and I think it drives a lot of people. And I think if we do what we do as a team and stick to our values and how we want to play, then those results will sort of come.
Post World Cup, there was the tour of Bangladesh where they didn't select you. What were you thinking at that point?
Again, I think it sort of buys into the environment we have. Obviously, when you don't play, you always want to play every game you can, but I think it's bigger than that, and it's bigger than me in that moment. I think, look, there's a lot of world-class players in this team at the moment, and, you know, who've represented New Zealand for a long period of time, so it's sort of respecting that and understanding that there are guys who are very, very good. So, you know, you take it in your stride and you move on. But look, we played some good cricket over there on some tough wickets, so it was just good to see the guys find some success.
So you're effectively about a month without any cricket, and then of course the prospect of coming home to play a home summer. What were you able to fit in during that time in preparation for the test matches against South Africa?
Yeah, so I had that a few tests in Bangladesh, and I got home and was able to have a little bit of a break period, which I think was pretty good for me. Obviously, it was tough to convince, because I want to play as much as I can, especially at this age, but it probably helped me refresh and reflect on sort of the previous few months, which have been a bit of a whirlwind. So I was able to also get back and work on a couple of things that I felt like had crept in during white ball, and obviously getting back to red ball, it's sort of that consistency of your positioning and your technique, and doing that for a long period of time, which I think having that little, you know, week or so training period helped my game a lot.
What were you thinking going into Mount Maunganui, Rutchin, when they said you've gone about at 4 for New Zealand? Was that a little higher than perhaps you first thought? And tell us about how the 240 unfolded for you, the double 100.
Yeah, I mean, when sort of Gary mentioned I was batting 4, I was pretty happy. I was pretty excited, because you see the greats of the game who have batted at 4, and it's a pretty amazing position to bat. And I think especially someone like Roscoe, who's done it for a very, very long period of time with amazing success for New Zealand. So being able to step into that role was pretty cool. And yeah, I guess going into it, it was amazing to bat with Kane for a while there. But I think it was just like, it was fun being able to get into red ball mode again and not necessarily worrying about the scoreboard ticking over. It's just you and that ball after ball, and getting into a little batting bubble. And that's what I probably enjoy the most about batting, is when you're in that moment, it doesn't feel like anything else is happening. It's just, you know, you and that ball.
One of the great things about starting out in a test career is that not a lot of people know a heck of a lot about you, but it became very obvious that you've got, you know, a scoring area that you like, the cover drive area, square of the wicket on the offside. Did you find that South Africa initially and then Australia looked for you in that area?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it's a big scoring shot for me, but also, like, I'd be first to admit that it gets me out too. So I think it's all about managing it and understanding when the right time is to play it, and probably realising, look, there's more time than you think in a red ball game. I don't necessarily have to drive balls on the up in my first 10 balls. But, yeah, I think they targeted well. I mean, South Africa did that in the second test at Hamilton, sort of bored me out in the end. And Australia, their attack is just amazing, world-class, you know, their consistency. So, yeah, I'll definitely continue to keep working on it, because, you know, you try improve and grow as a cricketer whenever you can.
What has been your individual highlight? The World Cup overall, the 240, your performances against Australia. What do you, if you had to single out one thing that's made you the happiest, what would it be?
One thing that's made me the happiest. I'd probably say the first game of the World Cup was pretty special, I think. Also, more in terms of, we got the win against, you know, England, and obviously after the 2019 stuff and being able to watch that from afar and not necessarily make amends because, you know, it's very hard to forget that, but being able to do that with a mate, Devin, has been amazing. But I think in general the summer's been great. You know, we've had great crowds throughout the home summer, and the Australia series was pretty special, even though the results didn't quite go as we wanted it. Being able to play in Wellington for a test match and the T20 and the home support was beautiful.
What do you think, Rich, and what do you think performing pretty well at times against Australia will do for you confidence-wise? What has it taught you playing and succeeding and batting for periods of time against the very best?
Yeah, I think it more gives you that confidence that you know you can compete. And I'm still obviously very young in my test career, but being able to do, you know, at the crease for a little while against those guys probably goes a long way. And, you know, positive affirmation for yourself, like, look, what I'm doing is right. So you just sort of continue with that process. But I think it's more like it's almost bigger than that, because I've watched these guys go, like, bowl their, you know, amazing balls on TV and the amount of test wickets they've taken. So it's really a pinch yourself moment when you see sort of Pat Cummins or Nathan Lyon coming in at you trying to get you out. So, it's pretty surreal, really.
Can I ask you, you've mentioned Devin Conway, you've mentioned Kane Williamson being alongside him. Who else have been your influences? Who do you look at in world cricket and say, wow, that's pretty special? Or who did you used to look at and say, that's a bit of me, that's something I'd quite like to have?
Yeah, I used to idolise Tendulkar when I was really young. I think probably that influence from dad and mum as well, sort of having that Indian background. You know, the dad used to always have sort of Tendulkar on, and he used to watch every single ball, and you know, the way he played was beautiful. I guess in the modern game, it's hard to go past someone like Kohli. I think his success in all three formats is something every batter wants to achieve. So yeah, it's that. But also, there's been so many influences. I mean, my dad's thrown a million balls to me. My mum's been there every step of the way. You know, there's got amazing relationships with guys in the Wellington team, like sort of Michael Bracewell, Tom Blundell, and the likes have played for New Zealand. So, I mean, there's too many to list.
Right. Now, next project, of course, you're probably almost on the way to the airport now. It's, you've got a little matter of your first IPL to take part in. Tell us about what you're expecting there.
Yeah, we leave on Saturday, so I haven't really felt like I've had too much time to think about it. We've played so much cricket, and there's, you know, we've had a pretty insane schedule so far, and those against Aussie sort of took up most of my energy. But I mean, I'm pretty excited. I think it's, Chennai is an amazing team to be part of, from what I've heard, and being able to play under some greats, and obviously MS Dhoni, and, you know, having some Kiwi boys there, which helps a lot. So I mean, I'm excited to get underway. Really, it's just interesting from going red ball to white ball so quickly.
Have you ever crossed paths much with Meili Kerr? I mean, it's a great similarity here. You're both such young Wellingtonians. You've probably grown up wanting to play at the Basin, and now, of course, you've achieved that, and now you're forerunners for your country. Have you ever crossed paths with Meili Kerr and had a chat about things?
Yeah, I've known Meili for a long time. I guess we sort of grew up in Wellington around the same sort of time. I remember playing cricket against her way back in the day when we were sort of like 10, 11, 12. But, yeah, I mean, the way she's crafted her career has been amazing. She obviously started off as a bowler, but the way she's developed the batting and doing that role for the White Ferns is amazing. Not just the player that she is, but sort of off-field stuff that she does is like great to see. And, I mean, you know, I wish her all the success going forward.
Well, Rachel, it's been great catching up with you. I know you've had a bit of a media frenzy this morning. It's a hell of an achievement. Some players have great careers and never quite get that kind of accolade. But to have it at your age and the prospect of winning it many times is such a fantastic thing. The Sir Richard Hadlee Medal winner, Rachin Ravindra, sounds great. Sounds great to say. I bet it feels great around the neck as well, mate. Congratulations. All the best in Chennai, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Smithy. Appreciate the kind words.